Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello and welcome to episode 86 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We hope everyone's doing well and staying healthy. We had a bit of a household bug going around a couple weeks ago, which is why we've been a bit behind and we missed an episode, but we're back in action. This week we wanted to touch base on something that I think is really important for any relationship, whether you're married, dating, long distance, wherever you kind of fit in the relationship spectrum, and that's showing appreciation. And it's something we talk a lot about, isn't it, in all of our episodes, that, you know, showing your appreciation is so important. And we talk a lot about, you know, just the power of a simple thank you for things that maybe even a person wouldn't expect to be thanked for. You know, if one of you is always doing the cooking and that's just kind of how the responsibilities fall in the household, it's still nice every evening when you put that meal in front of your partner to be told, oh, thank you, you know, or whatever that is.
Yeah, I mean, we shared on social media recently that we say thank you probably every day to it. And it's like I said, cooking, like every day when you cook, I thank you for it. And you thank me if I take the trash out, you know, just whenever.
Even though that's your job, I still thank you for it.
Yeah. And even though it's something that, you know, benefits the person doing it as much as the other one, it's still something they don't have to do. You know, I remember in the first episode we did with David, which I think is 47.
Your memory's going to be better than mine on that.
Yeah, he made the point that he would never expect anyone else to do something he's capable of doing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking that episode about, I think, like, you know, whether his wife washes his clothes and stuff like that. And it's like, I think that's a really good way of looking at it because, you know, we mention, if not frequently, certainly fairly often, that you do learn to take things for granted in a relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, that's just what you do. And why aren't my clothes ready? And why is this not done? And actually, when you take a step back from it, that person doesn't have to do that. Somewhere along the line, right, maybe it was formally agreed that that's your job and that's my job. But, you know, it's still something that you're probably capable of doing yourself. And yes, communication is important. So you could say, I don't mind doing it myself, but you could have given me the heads up. You know, obviously, you can kind of respond that way. But I think the point of not expecting so much of something you're capable of really does give you that appreciation that you've done something for me that saved me time and effort, and I'm grateful that you've done that.
Yeah, and I think we also have an episode, which I can't remember which number it was, but we will pop it in the show notes for this, and it was all about expressing gratitude, you know, towards your partner.
Yeah.
So, but here we wanted to focus on just three simple, quick ways to make your partner feel appreciated. And we're kind of talking about the first one now, and that is one, saying thank you. It just really holds a power. And I think sometimes when we're caught up in the day-to-day living life, we have jobs or we're raising children or we're running all over the place, trying to survive a pandemic and still be good partners in our relationships. And sometimes you can start to feel a little bit resentful. And I don't necessarily mean that on a scale where it's going to do damage in your relationship, but we've all had moments where someone's just being a little bit discourteous. They don't mean to. Maybe they're busy. You put the meal down in front of them and they just eat.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you maybe spend a bit extra time cleaning the house or changing the bedding and no one says anything, and you just feel a bit like, well, why do I bother? And that's natural to feel that way. And sometimes you don't even know that that's what's bothering you. You just start feeling this pent up angst and yuckiness towards the other person. But simply being told, oh, I saw you did this, thank you, it's just like you've been seen.
Well, I think as well, like if it's something you're not doing at the minute, you know, this is kind of new to you, you can expect a, you know, potentially profound impact from it, because it just introduces a new dynamic. I think it portrays a humility that maybe isn't there without it. It's like, as you said, you've been seen, but it's always like, oh, you know, I appreciate that you said that. Especially if you're a couple that kind of argues a lot and there's an accusation that one of you is, you know, arrogant or superior or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
Then I think that person saying thank you, I have gratitude for what you do, can really change the perception of arrogance and cockiness and, oh, you think you're too good and you never thank me for stuff and I'm just a slave to you. You know, it really does introduce the element of humility that can have a big impact.
And I think humility is the key here, because if you see your partner, when your partner's doing things, it might make you feel like you're not doing enough. Like, say, you know, your partner does majority of the work around the house and maybe you just don't have time or you're a little bit lazy. No one really likes, I mean, some people like housework, but most people just do it because it needs to be done.
Mm.
Does make things feel nicer. But, you know, sometimes if someone's doing so much, it makes you insecure about what you're not doing. It might come across as like, oh, thanks for doing that. Like, it needs to be a humble, like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like, that's awesome that you did that. Like, last night, we did one of our favorite night dates, which you've probably heard about us talk about a lot of different episodes. But it was Rich's turn to have a favorite night planned for him. I was making dinner. We'd been to the shops and stuff, and I was getting everything going, and he comes rolling in with a vacuum cleaner. And I'm like, what are you doing? Because typically on favorite night, you get pampered. You don't have to do anything. If it's your night to feed the dogs, you don't have to do that. Like, everything gets done for you, and you just get to relax. And he comes bringing the Hoover in, and I said, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I just thought I'd do some vacuuming, as it's my favorite night. And I was like, is it your favorite thing to do? And he's like, no, but I just, we have dogs and a cat, and there's a lot of hair, and he just saw that it needed doing. And I said, wow, thank you. Like, you don't need to do that, but that's awesome. I really appreciate that. So I didn't have to say thank you. You obviously wanted to do it. I didn't ask you to, but...
But I think it's... I think the importance of this is when it becomes more monotonous, because I think everyone says thank you for bigger, unexpected things. Like, yeah, you know, when you get a birthday present, it's like, oh, thank you. If you get treated, you know, I'll take you out for breakfast as a treat. Oh, thank you. But really, the power of this is in the day-to-day stuff. You know, like we said, we say thank you for doing things around the house, for dinner... On a daily or near daily basis, that's when it really shows that you still see it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what a lot of couples, after a little while, it's just, oh yeah, that's just what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't you know it's now? Easy to forget, you know, because we do get into our little roles in the household and whatever that might be, you know, but
I think what the takeaway is, just because something gets done every day or however often it needs to be done and it's deemed to be that person's job, the gratitude should still be there, because it's still something being done for you to make your life easier, even if it's being done for them too. I mean, if you put it to the point of cooking, yes, okay, you need to eat too, but you could conceivably just cook your own meal.
Or throw a TV dinner in the microwave for yourself. Like, you don't have to cook an entire meal.
Yeah, and then, you know, and there are couples out there who do eat separately and they do their own laundry and things like that. And so just because, you know, someone could turn around and say, well, yeah, you did dinner, but you had to cook it anyway because you wanted to eat, they don't have to do yours too. And, you know, that is still saving you time and effort. And maybe they're better at it than you, so you get to eat, you know, nicer meals than you would be doing if you were in charge of it. So, you know, it's still important to be grateful and to recognise the effort. And what does it allow you to do? You know, maybe in that time it's just, oh, I'm relaxing in that time. I'm working in that time. I'm doing something else around the house in that time. But it still gives you that time and the nice meal, and they're making the effort for you every day. And I think that's when it's important.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's super simple. Just say thank you. I think we just forget, or maybe you're a little bit, feel a bit proud sometimes if you guys are a bit in an argumentative state. So that's tip one. Just say thank you for stuff that you maybe wouldn't normally even say it for.
Yeah, and I think that probably goes nicely into tip two of not having expectations.
Okay.
Well, because, you know, it's really easy and it's very easy to have a lot of cynicism, but to think, oh, if I make a big fuss about this, I'll get sex.
Right, or, so or let's clarify what tip two actually is. So yeah. Tip two, to show your partner appreciation, is to show affection without expecting anything in return. Yeah. I think early on, we're cuddling nonstop. We can't stop holding hands. Of course, there's loads of sex at the beginning too, but it's like, it's just a part of, it's part of your relationship identity, is that affection in those early days. But yeah, as time goes on and you get busy and you get comfortable in your relationship, we stop showing each other affection sometimes without any expectation. It can in some relationships turn into a, oh yeah, I need to start being cuddly because I want to have sex tonight, or yeah, I'm going to go up behind her while she's doing the dishes and wrap my arms around her, but that's because I want to go to bed. Like, it's still important to do those things and not expect anything, just to express
mm-hmm.
affection, especially if your partner's love languages includes
affection,
acts of affection. Yeah. So I think, what is that? What does that look like? That looks like just holding each of those hands while you're watching your favorite TV show that you're binging on Netflix or whatever. It looks like, you know, putting your arm around their waist when you're out walking around town, whatever. It looks like, as you're walking past each other in the house, just stop and give them a quick peck on the lips. You know, it's whatever things you know your partner loves, but just for the sake of doing it and making them feel, hey, I see you physically, I'm showing you love right now, and I expect nothing in return. And that's just a really good physical way to be shown that you're appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if it leads to more, then more power to you. But it's just showing that without the expectation of this is going to end up with no pants on.
Yeah. And you know, so tying that into the saying thank you, because it moves into it. It's this probably will resonate more with couples who have this, where it's like, you know, if you don't say thank you day to day, and then on the days you make a big fuss, like, oh, well, you want sex. Yeah, so it's not purely the acts of affection, I think, but just in general. And I think the acts of affection are probably where it hits 9 times out of 10. But just generally, you know, don't have expectation. And ironically, you know, the more you are like that, probably the more you get in return, because you're removing that element of, oh, we're only doing that to get this. And so that, you're removing that, can really open up the channels that gets you more anyway.
Because it just feels natural. It doesn't feel like this choreographed thing.
Yeah, you actually feel wanted and desired rather than just being manipulated at that moment. Because ultimately that's kind of what it is. It is manipulation if you're, you know, 6 days out of 7 or whatever, you're oblivious to the other person, and on the day you want to, it's like, oh, hey, babe.
I think also it's not always calculated or manipulative. I think we just get so focused on other things, and as we settle into our relationships, you know, those kind of, that all awareness of the other person just kind of fades into the background, and yes, you're there, you do start to take things for granted a little bit, and you know, you just suddenly think, oh, we've got time today, maybe we'll have sex, and then you want to pay attention and physical affection because you're in that mindset. I don't think it always is
calculated. I don't mean it in like a
creepy way.
Yeah, or malicious even, but it's, or even conscious. But it's, you know, the point is you have to treat that person consistently that way, not just when it suits you or when it's in your interests.
But I think it can vary. Like, I think we have kind of a base level of affection, and then some days it's higher. And sometimes that's because we know we're going to have sex because we know it's a certain day when we have time for it. Or it's just because we had a really nice evening together before and we're feeling more in tune. And, you know, some of my favorite moments are, like I said, when we're passing each other in the house, you know, Rich might be going to do some work and I'm going to, you know, clean something, you know, whatever. And he stops me, gives me a kiss and says, I love that you're my wife. And we carry on, and it just, I hold that for the day and I carry it, and it makes me feel really good. You know, he didn't want anything. He just wanted to kiss me. So you did two love languages there, words of affirmation and acts of affection.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I love that. And then it makes me feel appreciated, like you said, receptive, and then more likely to want sex or something later, because I'm like, oh yeah, of course, we're lovely together.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the second tip. Show affection without expectation, because I think people can really start to feel like a piece of meat if they're only shown affection when you want sexual gratification out of them. And tip number 3, we've talked about this a little bit as well on social posts and stuff if you follow us on Instagram and Twitter, but one of the best ways to show appreciation to your partner is to ask what you can do for them that day. It's really important to recognize when your partner is overwhelmed, has a lot on their plate, or just is struggling, you know, because of pandemic, being a parent, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes just saying, you know, early in the morning, before you both get started on your day, hey, is there anything I can do for you today? You know, that might be running to the store. That might mean picking up the kids. It might mean running the vacuum around or getting dinner started. Like, just anything. It might mean nothing. They might not actually need you to do anything, but just the offer feels really good.
Yeah, it does. And it's literally just occurred to me, but something we've started doing, certainly I've started doing in the past sort of 5 weeks, I think you do it to an extent too, but it's planning the next day the night before, which I've never done before. And it, like, doing that actually has given me so much more clarity and almost energy in the morning, because you're not thinking, oh, what am I doing today? And you have to remember everything. Like, oh, well, I've got to do this. It's, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, and it's at this time, I'm doing that at that time. So when you ask the question, what can I do for you today, it's actually really fresh in your mind that, oh, I know, because I just did this 9 hours ago, these are the things I'm doing today. Do you know what? I don't need anything, and I've got this window at this time. I'm going to take care of stuff. Or you could say, actually, yeah, I'm slammed today. It would be really helpful if you can do this. So if this is if this tip is helpful to you, where the other person asking you anything you can do, and you think, oh, you know, I never know what's happening, I'm stressed and frazzled and burnt out. Tip 3A, I think, is if the night before you just write out what you've got the next day. I mean, you know, I do it to the rough time, so within this hour I'll do this and this, but you don't have to. You can just even have a list of what you need to get done. Then in the morning it's just fresh and clear in your mind, and when they ask that question you'll be able to say, you'll have a better idea. And on the flip side of that, if you plan out your day, you'll know how much time you've got. So when you say, is there anything I can do for you, you'll kind of know what's realistic. You can say, look, I've got a window between 3 and 4, do you need me to run to the shops, or whatever it may be. But I think that it's just it's something I found has been really, really helpful.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's hard sometimes if you're feeling overwhelmed or you're struggling or you're really, really busy. It's sometimes hard to say what you need because you're just so overwhelmed and you don't even know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you find instances where one partner will say to the other, like, you just don't help me and I'm really frustrated and I need help. And then they'll say, okay, well, what can I do? I don't know. I just need help. Know. Yeah. And it's not because you're bad or wrong.
But things aren't organized, and you can have loads to do, but then when you start writing it out, and this is something I've found too, I used to have it where everything would be in my head and be like, oh, I've got so much to do. And then you start writing and think, well, actually, I can do that Wednesday. I haven't got to do that tomorrow. And you can just start putting some order to it. Suddenly you've got a bit more space than you thought, because instead of there being 10 things you need to get done, you realize, well, I've got 2 that are really urgent for tomorrow. That one won't take me as long as I thought. I'll put that one on that day. Suddenly it's over the space of a week and it's much more. Now, maybe it's over the space of a week and you are slammed and you're doing, 12-hour days a week. Yeah, that happens too. But the point is, you have that clarity.
Yeah.
And it just makes such a big difference. Like you said, when they say, what can I do? So, I don't know, I just need help. And then an argument ensues because I can't help you if you don't tell me what, I can't read your mind. Exactly. I don't know what you want. And, neither of you are strictly in the wrong there. Both of you are coming from the right place. If I need help, please help me, and I want to help people, what you want. You're kind of doing the right thing. They're coming from the right place, but it's more of a process breakdown than a personal breakdown.
And I think this happens across a lot of topics in relationships. Like, it's a tricky one because, so say for example, you're not romantic enough anymore. Okay, well, what do you want me to do? I don't want to tell you what to do. I want you to just do it and want to be romantic. This is an example where that's not the case. You shouldn't feel that way about where you need help. Like, you don't have to feel like, I don't want to give you a list. Like, it's fine to give someone a list of things to do.
Because there are some things you're not going to want to give up because you feel you do it better.
Or just that you have to be the one to do it, whatever that reason is. So I think, I know I have friends, female friends, and myself, I've felt this way in the past. We can have unrealistic expectations of what, our partners can predict or can read our minds on. And so, yeah, there's some areas where it's okay to feel like, I don't want to tell you how to do this because you should want to do it. And that is being romantic, being, spontaneous. Yeah, you have every right to feel like, I don't want to drip feed you this because you should love me enough to want to do this. But when it comes to practical household errands, raising children, getting the dry cleaning, doing the yard work, there is nothing wrong with giving someone an itemized list of what you need, because I know men in particular work a lot better. I remember we had family come, this was months and months and months ago when life was still normal. We had family coming to visit, coming to stay, and I had a lot of stuff to go out and like buy to get, ready, food shopping and stuff. So I couldn't do all the household stuff. And I said, I need you to do this and this. And you just looked at me like you were like, I said, do you want me to make a list? And you said, yes. And I wrote down like fold the laundry, mow the lawn, do this, do that. And I came back and I could see that you'd been crossing items off on the list as you went. Like, that is what you needed. There was no argument that, like, I came back and I said, you haven't done this and this. Oh, I forgot. Shit. Like, it's fine to be prescriptive when it comes to the day-to-day. You don't have to feel like they should know exactly what to do and do it perfectly. Save that for the romantic side. This is fine to give lip service and
And take the memory out of it. You could have said it and I'd have written the list myself, you know, but the point is I needed the list. Just take relying on memory out of the equation and just say, okay, you know, this needs to be done. And on that point, I think it's important there to recognise how you each operate. So in that instance, I needed the list. Not everyone would need the list, mm-hmm. but if you recognise what the other person needs to get it done, then it helps everyone. And it helps everyone also stay calm and you stay in that frame of mind of, this kind of loops back to the gratitude. It's like, thanks for your help with this. Really, you know, you really helped me out. It took a lot of pressure off me. That's no problem. Hey, like, let's relax and watch a movie or something, or go to bed or whatever it may be. Whereas without that, it's just arguments and stress and being just, you feel like you don't know what to do. And both of you get frustrated because you're like, well, I want to help, but I don't know what to do. And
yeah,
you know, it just helps. And it's, like I said, I think this is more of a process thing. If you, it kind of comes back to how we sometimes say that, you know, marriage and relationships are like a business. If you can imagine how this would, if you imagine this as a business scenario, like you're at work in the offices, how would this be done? You wouldn't have a boss say, right, everyone just earn more money, like bring in more revenue. It doesn't work that way. You say, look, this is the goal and we've got X amount of time to do it. And, you know, everyone on that team has their own expertise. Everyone's hired to do a job. Like, okay, it doesn't sound romantic to say like that, but the point is, there's normally a process, there's a direction, everyone knows kind of what to do by when. You can absolutely adopt that in your relationship. I'm not suggesting you have meetings and reports and stuff, but you can say, look, this one needs to be done, I'm going to do this, you do that, you have clarity on it, there's a process there, and everyone's happy, it's done on time, you can relax, and it just saves a lot of grief.
But it's also fine to remember that, like, you're saying, like, it's not romantic. People have to, you know, probably people who've been in their relationship for quite some time or have been in at least a previous relationship for a long period of time understand that romance doesn't trickle into every aspect of your relationship. And that's okay. It's almost like two parts of you. You have the day-to-day side of you that is, you know, keeping life going, ticking boxes, running errands, putting food into tummies. And then the other half, which is romance. It's your time together. It's sex. It's spontaneity, it's memories, it's fun stuff. Like, they're two halves of you. And I remember I discovered that really early in our relationship and struggled with it a little bit because we've talked about this before. Like, when we first met and I came and spent a month in England with Rich, it was a fairy tale because we were both on vacation. Rich was doing a little bit of freelance work, but he largely took the month off to be with me. I was teaching, so it was summer. I didn't have to worry about work. We literally just got to be on a month-long vacation date. And then when I came back for Christmas for a few weeks, it was the same. And then Rich came back to the States with me. And then I went back to work. And he worked from home. And it was suddenly like, I'm getting up and going to work and you're at home. And then I'm coming home and I'm tired. And I've been around like jerky students and I'm complaining. And I remember thinking there was weekday us and weekend us. And I remember Fridays I would come home and feel like we got to fall in love again. And you would be like, oh, I love weekend you. And I'm like, I love weekend me and weekend you. Like, it's okay that it's gonna be back and forth. Like, don't worry about the romance if it feels like you're running a business when it comes to what you need from each other to get stuff done on a day-to-day. Worry about that on your date night and just moments throughout the day where you can be romantic. It can be two sides of you. And I think a really good example of this, like you said, you don't need to have meetings, but like we do, you know, not every week even, but you know, every few months we might have a finances meeting and talk about what's coming up, or obviously, we have this project together, so we have lunch dates and we go through things we want to try and achieve for this. There's all kinds of things. There's some successful people that I follow on like Instagram, like influencers, where both partners run their own business and they have children together. And, you know, they have meetings throughout the year of this is what we want to achieve in the next few months. This is what we want for the new school year. Like, they go through it all together.
Yeah, but then on the romance point, it's kind of funny, the act itself may not feel romantic, like, you know, these meetings and shit, like a business, having this process in place, but it can lead to feeling more romantic, because you get that time at the end where you feel, you both feel good towards each other because you've pulled together, you've accomplished this, you can relax, the stress is gone. So that facilitates the romance.
Well, if you've got good processes in place and the day-to-day can run easily.
But you can just say, oh, look, you know what? Because it works on multiple levels, right? You've got one, it's like, oh, I feel good and relaxed because this is all done. But then you also feel warm towards your partner because they've helped.
You've worked together.
Mm-hmm. It's like, I really appreciate everything you've done today. You didn't have to do that. You know, you took time out to help me do whatever it was needed to be done. You feel good. Yeah, mm-hmm. So the work bit itself may not sound or feel romantic or be romantic, but it can absolutely facilitate physical closeness as a result of it.
Fundamentals are the building blocks of fun.
Yeah.
That's from...
Fundamentals.
It's from a... What was that movie with Brittany Murphy and Dakota Fanning when she... Uptown Girls, yeah. I just always remember that.
I don't know.
But no, putting the framework in place to set you up for success means that things run more smoothly. And then you have more time and you're less stressed, hopefully, that you can then better be romantic together. So yeah, those are our three tips for showing each other appreciation. So one, you've got say thank you. Two, you've got show affection without any expectations. And step three, even though we rambled a bit on how you should run your household, step three is simply ask what you can do to help the other person that day. But obviously you should probably have some ideas and practices in place to make that run a bit better. So just three simple steps. We thought we've all been cooped up together for a long time. Things might be getting a bit cabin fevery. Get on each other's nerves. So it's really good to have a few quick ways to show that appreciation and just be a bit more thoughtful towards each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else? Any admin?
No. Only our obligatory remind... Obligatory?
Yeah.
Can't say it.
Or if you're American, obligatory.
Obligatory. Reminder about our ultimate guide to long distance relationships. You know, we've got lots and lots of tips and advice and suggestions, and with things slowly opening up again with COVID, you know, a lot of the plans that were put on hold will hopefully, we really do hope for people, back on the map, if you'll excuse the pun. So, you know, visit our website, the resources tab, longdistancetomarriage.com, and enjoy.
Have a great week.